It says that we have been successfully reconnected, so hopefully we have restarted and we can continue with our Bible study. We're in 2 Chronicles, the 25th chapter. There are 28 verses. And so we are trying to see if we are here. Yes, we are here, I see. And
is that the new feed?
There? Yes. I think this is the new feed.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So those who were able to wait through that process with us as we were talking about waiting on the Lord and how patience is a virtue. Hopefully you were tested during that particular time and that you decided to hang on in there with us and come back and help us as we finish this process. But we were talking about how this whole situation with the new king who's in place now. What's his name?
Amaziah.
He was the son of Joash. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's correct.
And how he was thirsty for God in the beginning. And he reigned for some 29 years, I believe it was. 29 years in Jerusalem. And as a result of him being tried and tested, he found himself caught up in going and worshiping idol gods. And the very thing that tripped his dad up and those who went before him is the same thing that he found himself involved in. And one of the things that I really, that caught my attention in that whole process is that when we stray away from worshiping the true and living God and we start worshiping idols, and it was not, our idols today are not like the ones that they were worshiping back then.
Right.
But many times we have put things in place of God, or we have put things between us and God that has caused us not to give God our undivided attention. And anything that's standing between you and God is close, that thing is closer to God than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes people have various forms of idols that really separate them from being true and authentic and obedience to the things of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's correct. And so we have to be careful not to let idols come in between us and God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Amaziah, he ruled in Jerusalem. And after he slaughtered the Edomites, he bowed down to their gods.
Mm-hmm.
And he challenged one of the kings and he was defeated. That's the underlining story. That's the underlining storyline here in this chapter. But we have 28 verses here, and we've already kind of gone through and gave a couple of recap ideas in terms of what this chapter holds. But you want to go ahead and start reading some of that for us, Lady Kim, and see how it unfolds?
Sure. The streaming side of it said it's perfect. Now, I'll read through verse 16 right now. That's a good place. Through verse, let's see, I think we can stop with verse 4. That's a good place to stop with verse 16.
It's your call.
Okay.
All right.
Let's read until it makes sense to stop, okay?
All right.
All right. The reign of Amaziah. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not with a true heart. As soon as the royal power was firmly in his hand, he killed his servants who had murdered his father, the king. But he did not put their children to death according to what was written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded the parents should not be put to death for the children, or the children be put to death for the parents. But all shall be put to death for their own sins. Amaziah assembled the people of Judah and set them by ancestral house under commanders of the thousands and of the hundreds for all Judah and Benjamin. He mustered those 20-year-olds and upwards and found that they were 300,000.
Wow.
Picked troops fit for war. able to handle spear and shield. He also hired 100,000 mighty warriors from Israel for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God came to him and said, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel. All these Ephraimites, rather go by yourself and act. Be strong in battle, or God will fling you down before the enemy. For God has power to help or to overthrow. Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents that I have given to the army of Israel? The man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Then Amaziah discharged the army that had come to him from Ephraim, letting them go home again. But they became very angry with Judah and returned home in fierce anger. Amaziah took courage and led out his people. He went to the Valley of Salt and struck down 10,000 men of Seir. The people of Judah captured another 10,000 alive, took them to the top of Selah, and threw them down from the top of Selah so that all of them were dashed to pieces. But the men of the army whom Amaziah sent back, not letting them go with him to battle, fell on the cities of Judah from Samaria and Beth Horon. They killed 3,000 people in them and took much booty. Now, after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, he brought the gods of the people of Seir, set them up as his gods, and worshiped them, making offerings to them. Mm-hmm. The Lord was angry with Amaziah and sent to him a prophet who said to him, why have you resorted to a people's God who could not deliver their own people from your land? But as he was speaking, the king said to him, have we made you a royal counselor? Stop. Why should you be put to death? So the prophet stopped, but said, I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my voice. I stopped at verse number 16.
Okay. All right. So a lot going on here. And we see that God is sending a word through the prophet to speak to this young leader, mm-hmm. Amaziah, and how he started out trying his best to be faithful and loyal and committed to the process. Mm-hmm. But as a result of, I don't know if it was his success or the fact that he was gaining much popularity or that he became full of himself. Mm-hmm. But he spent enormous amounts of money for those whom he had hired to go with him into battle.
Right.
And the prophet came to him and told him that that was not necessary. He didn't need to do that. But he was really kind of displeased with that word. Mm-hmm. And he asked about the money that he had already spent. And I believe the prophet told him that God was going to give him all of that back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he had to trust God and go into battle by himself.
Yes.
And so he obeyed on the front end, and he reimbursed those whom he had already, he didn't have to reimburse them. They already had it. He didn't want to get his money back.
Right.
Even though he felt some kind of way about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we find out that they really, in the next few verses, they turned against him. And they went on ahead and ambushed the people anyway.
Yes.
Because they were ready to fight, and he sent them back home.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. And you know what always intrigues me about, what intrigued me about this is that the prophet's name is never mentioned here.
Mm-hmm.
It just talks about how the prophet of God was sent to Amaziah to deliver a message. And so that lets me know that sometimes people can speak into our lives and give us messages, and we need to be willing to heed that message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a message can come from the least likely source,
okay.
But we have to be willing to godly discern the messages that God sends us through different people, through different messengers, in order to get his job done.
I agree. And many times it has to be a spirit of discernment that's necessary, mm-hmm. because people can come to you and it's not of God.
That's true.
And you have to be mindful of that. We have to be prayerful and watchful. And it has to connect with what God is saying to us. Or if we feel as if we're going down the wrong path, and pray about what is being given to us so we can make sure that we're hearing God's voice in his direction.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
We have to try the Spirit by the Spirit. That's what John tells us.
Yes.
Because there are many false prophets out there, and we have to be mindful of that. And sometimes they are out to destroy the things that God has built up, and trying to keep us from reaching the destiny that he set for our lives.
Amen.
Well, anything else standing out in those few verses you read through verse 16?
Yes, I read through verse 16.
Okay. Anything else that kind of captured your eye there as you were reading?
One of the things that captured my eyes, who was leading those people of Judah who decided to disobey the king's orders? Usually when you disobey the king's orders, then you are put to death,
mm-hmm.
you know, but the king told them, no, you all go back home,
right.
and don't do, you know, we'll take care of
right.
it. But instead they went.
And this, I think it was kind of a renegade group that decided mm-hmm. they were going to go ahead and do what they were originally instructed to do.
And paid to do.
And paid
yeah,
to do.
They were
and
paid
so
to do.
They went on their own, I believe. I don't think they had any guidance from somebody over them, mm-hmm. other than the ones who were in the army with them, because it was quite a few men that was mm-hmm. out there, and they all got paid, and that's what Amaziah's whole issue was with, about how he's going to get his money back,
right.
you know. And yeah. the prophet said, "No, don't worry about that." And I think so it is with us, even in the life today. We worry about how much it's going to cost us and how much we're going to end up losing.
Mm-hmm.
And not thinking about how God can give us much more
much
than
more.
What we've already put into the plan and the process.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we always looking for dividends.
That's right.
You know, on what we put in or how we're going to get something out from what we put in. But we don't have to worry about that as long as God is on our side.
All right.
You know, yes. So.
You stopped at verse 16. Okay,
mm-hmm.
go ahead.
Verse 17.
Okay.
Then King Amaziah of Judah took counsel and sent to King Joash, son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu of Israel, saying, "Come, let us look one another in the face."
Mm-hmm.
King Joash of Israel sent word to King Amaziah of Judah, "A thorn bush on Lebanon sent to a cedar on Lebanon, saying, 'Give your daughter to my son for a wife.' But a wild animal of Lebanon passed by and trampled down the thorn bush. You say, 'See, I have defeated Edom,' and your heart has lifted you up in boastfulness. Now stay at home. Why should you provoke trouble so that you fall, you and Judah with you?"
Okay.
But Amaziah would not listen. It was God's doing in order to hand them over, because they had sought the gods of Edom. So King Joash of Israel went up, he and King Amaziah of Judah faced one another in battle at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. Judah was defeated by Israel. Everyone fled home. King Joash of Israel captured King Amaziah of Judah, son of Joash, son of Ahazamah, at Beth Shemesh. He brought him to Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the Ephraim gates to the corner gate, a distance of 400 cubits. He seized all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God and Obed-Edom with them. He seized also the treasuries of the king's house, also hostages Then he returned to Samaria.
What verse is that?
24.
Okay. It's only
three more verses.
Okay.
Continue.
Yes.
Okay.
If you got enough wind in you to
I do.
To finish,
King Amaziah, son of Joash of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of King Joash's son of Jehoahaz of Israel. Now the rest of the deeds of Amaziah, from first to last, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? From the time that Amaziah turned away from the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. They brought him back on horses. He was buried with the ancestors in the city of David.
Wow. So it goes back to part of the summary that we were sharing earlier, Lady Kim, and how Amaziah really lost track of listening, you know, and following God's directive, and how even though the prophet tried to warn him, he still decided to take matters into his own hand. And then when he went up against the king of not Judah, but the king of Israel, was it Israel? Mm-hmm. That he found himself outmatched, and they had set up a conspiracy against him to cause him to fall back into idol worship. And that was really his demise, because he was not willing to stay the path and stay the course in terms of his true worship to God.
Amen. Amen. And so we see that when we don't stay the course, then we fall off course.
That's right.
And that
our
focus is shifted. We have to keep our minds and our hearts stayed and stationed on God, on Jesus, and not let our focus shift to the idols of this world.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the idols that people kind of get caught up in nowadays, would you say?
Well, people get caught up in material things.
Okay.
You know, wanting to... I know this is an old saying, be all that in a bag of chips, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the young people say these days. But when you start seeking more after things than you seek after God, then that's an idol.
Okay.
So whatever it is that you put in place of God, then that's your idol.
Okay.
It might be staying home. You might be that new car that you have.
Okay.
You know, that new Mercedes you have in the driveway that you're going to spend Sunday cleaning up, or getting it ready for the road, to drive it back and forth to work the next week. Or, you know, it might be a football season where you're staying at home to watch the football games instead of giving God praise, honor, and glory. You know, that football becomes an idol.
Okay. What about basketball?
It could be basketball.
Okay.
If you,
sports.
Whatever you put in front of God. Yes. Mm-hmm. Whatever you put in front of God and becomes more important than God, then that's what you idolize.
Okay. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life and those things that get in between you and God are closer to God than you are.
Amen.
And so we have to be mindful of that, because it's like a distraction. It's like something that's throwing you off track in terms of staying on track, as you already indicated. And so we have to be mindful of that, because particularly as believers, when we start spending more time in the things of this world rather than in the things of God, we'll find ourselves worshiping that which we spend more time investing in. You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so it can become an idol, and many times people don't even know it, because they're being drained and depleted from their participation and their growth and their development in the things of God. And they look around when a crisis comes, or when something interferes with the happy day that they think they're enjoying, then they find out that there's nothing on the inside of them to sustain them, to help them get through what they're going through. But the Bible says that greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And so we have to make sure that we feed our spirit man in order that when time does get rough, or when things start to fall apart, or when things don't line up according to our timetable, that we always have an anchor, and we can always rely on God. Yes. And he's promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said he'd be with us always. And so that means even when it's not going the way we think it ought to go, God is not moved. So make no mistake about it. If God said he would do a thing, it shall come to pass. And Paul puts it this way in Philippians, he who has begun a good work in you is well able to bring it to a flourishing finish. And so I trust God for the finish. And I believe he wants us to finish strong and not to grow weary in well-doing. For the Bible says, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. A lot of people are on the verge of fainting. A lot of people on the verge of giving up and throwing in the towel, because what's happening in the natural is not lining up with God spoke to them in the spirit. And so they began to trust man more than they trust the promise of God and end up missing out on the pace of the promise, because God controls the pace of the promise. I'm preaching a little bit better than y'all saying amen. But we have to trust God even when we can't trace him.
Amen. Amen. And I think, you know, that as we sum up this chapter tonight, you know, that we need to always strive to please God.
That's right.
You know, by being strong in spite of hurt, in spite of the hurt of people trying to destroy things in our lives. We have to listen to what's right and what's good. We have to accept and expect rejection and disappointment. Yes, we're going to be disappointed in life.
Okay.
We're going to have some rejection in life, but we should never turn away from God. And then we need to not worship idol gods. We have to listen to godly prophets.
Okay.
By letting God, we need to let God fight and win our battles for us. You know, we want to fight people, but the Bible says that, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's not the person, it's the spirit that we are to battle against and fight against, and not disobey God. Because when we disobey God, then we cause ourselves serious damage. And there are consequences when we don't obey God.
Absolutely.
So those are some nuggets that we can kind of take from the 25th chapter of Second Chronicles.
Okay. I guess if it's a good thing with Amaziah is that he was buried among his the fathers, and they did not just banish him like they did some of the ones in the past, and did not even bury him among the other kings who had already gone before it.
Amen. Amen.
And so great, great lesson. There's a power-packed lesson there for leadership and understanding the importance of staying consistent and being faithful through it all, even when it doesn't look like it's lining up to what we're expecting God to do. But if God has said a thing, and then we can expect him to bring it to pass.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
Well, we have several prayer requests. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, you can put them in the chat so that we can lift them up before we leave tonight. We want to say a special prayer for your brother, Earl Murray Jr.
That's right.
My brother-in-law in St. Mary's, Georgia. He was rushed to the hospital on yesterday. He seems to be doing a little better today. They're still running tests. I think he's in Jacksonville, in the hospital in Jacksonville. But we want to lift up Earl Murray Jr. We want to lift up First Lady Ashley McPherson. She was also hospitalized on yesterday, but now she is home and resting comfortably, but we want to continue to lift up First Lady Ashley, Pastor Marquise McPherson's best half in our prayers tonight. And then while you're putting those prayer requests into the chat, don't forget this coming weekend, we're having our leadership meeting. Our leadership meeting is scheduled for Saturday.
Is it?
So, yes, it's first Saturday.
Oh, okay, okay.
And so...
time is flying by so
fast. Time is filled with swift transition, I tell you. So, we are scheduled...
I thought I was going to be able to sleep in this Saturday.
No.
That's not going
to happen. Yeah, you can sleep in until 8 o'clock, then you need to get to the church for the leadership meeting.
No, I haven't slept in a minute, so it's become... you know, part of the process now.
Yeah.
But the leadership meeting starts at what time? At 10?
10 o'clock.
Okay.
10 o'clock.
This is our regular leadership meeting. This
yes.
Is, okay.
Yes, our regular leadership meeting. And then there are a couple other meetings taking place after that. And then don't forget, this weekend is the time change.
Is it?
We get to fall back. So
what?
We get an extra hour of sleep.
Lady
Praise
Kim, you probably
God.
Shouldn't have said anything. You would have had a church full of the parking lot when we
yeah,
pulled up.
Early.
Yeah,
they would have been early for service.
I know, right? But, you know, God has been faithful toward us the last couple of months or even longer. You know, we've been having great attendance. The Lord has been adding, and people have not been sluggish in their participation. And so we praise God for how he's blessing us. Even in spite of us.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And then I'm excited about
what's
Sunday.
Going, what else is going on?
Sunday afternoon at 3:30 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Qualis and I will be ordained.
What?
Into Christian ministry. And
Reverend.
So I'm excited about
is
that.
Is that right? That's this Sunday?
This coming Sunday.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Look how far
yep.
the Lord has brought you.
Amen. And he ain't through blessing
ain't through.
Me.
I know that's right.
Yes.
Well, we're going to stream that ordination ceremony.
Yes.
And we're looking forward to it. Of course, we have out-of-town guests coming. And my good friend, Dr. Holmes from Denver, he will be preaching Sunday at the 9:45 service. And, of course, Dr. Tunstall will be traveling from Los Angeles.
Amen.
They're all coming in support of this milestone and this
and I appreciate
and how God has really sustained you through the process and
mm-hmm.
of course your family will be coming in and then I believe some of my family will be coming in but we're excited about both you and Dr. Qualis receiving this the high honor in the church of being ordained, and this is something that carries you far beyond just anointed temple of praise,
Amen.
But it carries you to a broader spectrum mm-hmm. in terms of how you can use your gift in the larger church and how the larger church can be a blessing and how you can be a blessing to the church.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. So we're excited and we praise God for that.
Amen.
All right.
Something else that ran across my mind, now it flipped out. But anyway, we just thank God for each and every one of you. And
was it about your sister and your brother?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
But again, it will be live streamed for those right. who cannot make it. I had some people ask me today, would it be streamed?
Yes.
So I'll just have to send out the ATOP TV link.
That's right.
So they can watch it. So, but, you know, God bless you all. We will have a baby dedication on the 19th of November. So if you have a child and if you're a member of ATOP and you have a child birth through 3 years old that needs to be dedicated to the Lord, you need to call the church office and let Sister Giselle know. And again, we want to thank everybody who helped with the Fall Harvest Festival on yesterday. It was absolutely amazing. All of our youth advisors, thank you so much.
Volunteers.
All of the
decorations,
volunteers, all of the ministries who had cars.
The candy.
In the trunk or treat.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Everybody who donated a bag of candy or donated money for candy, we thank you. We did not run out of candy. like we did before. We just thank God for your participation, that we had more than enough, and God showed up in a powerful and a mighty way. And we thank God for Minister Travis Griffin Sr.
That's right.
Who got his feet wet, his first event
That's
with
right.
our youth department.
That's right.
So we thank God for that.
Okay. Well, you're going to close us out with a word of prayer.
Sure, most certainly.
Okay.
Let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you tonight. We bless you. We honor you, for you are worthy to be praised. God, we lift up those who are sick tonight, those who have been hospitalized. We lift up First Lady Ashley McPherson. We lift up Earl Murray Jr. to you tonight, God. We lift up all the others who are in the hospital or who have just come home from the hospital. We ask that your tender, loving hand of healing and mercy and grace be extended towards them. We pray for traveling mercies for those coming for the ordination services this weekend, oh God. We ask that you would put angels of protection around whatever mode of transportation that they are taking. If it's in a vehicle, God, protect the vehicle. If it's on the train, keep it on the rails. If it's in the air, oh God, let them make a safe liftoff and landing, God, and be safe in the air. We ask, oh God, that you would continue to watch over and keep us. Now, God, we say a special prayer for those in Ukraine. We say a special prayer for those in Israel. We say a special prayer for those in Gaza, in Palestine. We say a special prayer, God, for all those people who are at war, warring against one another. We ask, God, that your hand of mercy and grace bring peace to those lands, oh God. God, we ask that you would stay the hand of Russia that's coming against Ukraine. We ask that you would stay the hand of Hamas that has come against Israel. We ask, oh God, that as Israel defends itself against Hamas, God, that you would spare innocent lives as a result. So we thank you tonight, God. And God, we ask, oh God, that you would continue to let peace reign in the United States, oh God. We know that there are many factions and many organizations that are plotting and planning the demise of people here in the United States. But we speak a plan of foil over those plots, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you tonight, God, that you are a God who watches over us, who protects us, who leads us and guides us. Keep us and watch over us. Protect our families, our children, God. Protect our loved ones from the enemy's wicked wiles and devices, God. And we thank you tonight, God. And God, we ask a special blessing on this weekend, the ordination, oh God. We ask that you would continue to bless Anointed Temple of Praise as we go forth to be all that you would have us to be. And we love you tonight, God. And we give you praise and honor and glory for all that you've done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise Amen. God. Thank Amen. You, Lady Kim, for that powerful prayer.
Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining. We're sorry about the technical difficulties, but we thank you for those who were able to come back and join us. Until next time, bye-bye.